if we take a look at this psalm today, the psalm, as I think I've said before, always builds on the first reading and, when possible, moves into the gospel. Now, the first reading, as you just heard, is all about the initial dedication of the temple. Now, and so the psalm celebrates that dedication. And it's an expression of faith. In the dedication itself, which is in 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon's prayer accents this mystery. You're everywhere. Why then, how are you here in a special way? And this mystery, but the desire to have God present in a special way. This is the same as, yes, you're the king of everything, but we want a king we can touch. Now you see, both of those are predictions of the incarnation. We want somebody, we want God, but we want him among us. Well, he is. Jesus. And so this psalm, you know, celebrates this wonderful time. And it's about David, who began the construction of the psalm of the temple and was, after Saul, the king. And it was, as our Lord promised, I said, you remember when David said, I'm going to build a house for the Lord? And he said, no, you're not. Somebody else will, but I'm going to build you a house. Bet David, the house of David. So this psalm, I'm juggling too many books here. This psalm, you see, celebrates that presence of God. Okay, here we go. Oh, wait a minute. O Lord, remember David. That's the way it begins, you know, because he's the one responsible. And all the many hardships he endured. You see, when God remembers, it says, Zekor Adonai David, et kol avonoto, his sufferings, his hardships. God never forgets, right? So when we ask him to remember, what are we saying? Come and bless. You promised. Now, have mercy on David, who suffered much, sinned much, and was loyal to you. And so that's how it starts, you see. And this notion, then, that we rejoice in the presence of God, it's a prophecy. It's a prophecy of the incarnation, but it's also a prophecy of the Eucharist. Because we do have God physically with us in the Blessed Sacrament. And this genius idea, which began very early in the Church, to preserve the Blessed Sacrament, not just at the liturgy, but to preserve the Blessed Sacrament, you see? And to be grateful for that. And so, you see, we remember then David's oath. I will not enter the house where I live, nor go to the bed where I rest. I will give no sleep to my eyes, to my eyelids, no slumber, till I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the strong one of Jacob. But you remember, the Lord already told David, you're not going to build it. I'm going to build you a house, but your son will build this house for me. The mercy of God, huh? Infinite, eternal, immortal, all-powerful, And he has that much care for us that he dwells with us. And that's what this psalm is all about, you see. And after, you know, remembering the vow, the Lord swore an oath to David. He will not go back on his word. A son, the fruit of your body, will I set upon your throne. And now we just read this, the ark and all that belongs with the ark was at the city of David, which is the little hill south of present-day Jerusalem and south of where the temple, or the remains of the temple are. Interesting, you see. Once Jesus came, when he gave over the Spirit at his death, there's a new presence, the Holy Spirit. And so the curtain of the temple was torn in two. It's not here anymore. It's not, this is not the presence anymore. The presence is in your heart. God dwells in your heart. And that's where he is. And still we have this blessed sacrament, you see. And so they brought the ark up from this little hill, city of David, through the little valley up to the mount of the temple. And they brought the covenant. Because you see, what was in the ark was the word of God, the Torah, the tablets. The text tells us that explicitly. And so that expression of God's will was the presence of God until the Torah himself became incarnate. And now Jesus is the Torah, is the word, present. So this psalm, you see, becomes then a psalm celebrating the incarnation. And so this great feast they had in bringing up the ark from the city of David to the temple, that's a foreshadowing. Because, you see, the temple then becomes Mary. Jesus is the temple. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll rebuild it. But she's also the temple because, and so are we. Don't you know, Paul says, that you're the temple of God? And the Spirit of God dwells in you? And so, this understanding of the mercy of God, God puts that desire in our hearts. We want God to be close to us. And he said, all right, fine. I'll dwell in your heart. If you come into your heart, you'll always find me there. Unless you've turned away from me, then get reconciled and come back. But I'm also here. I'm also here in this sacrament. Though I am in heaven, radiant with beauty, my whole humanity transformed, I still carry the wounds, though. I'm proud of those. This is what I did for you. And so I still carry these. But then we have the Eucharist, you see. We have this gift, which is the fulfillment of that psalm. Okay. And as many as touched him, you see, were healed. That's us. We touch him. We can be healed. We pray for that. Physical, sure. We all need that. But we also healed in our spirit to be steadfast, to be in love with Jesus Christ, our Lord and God, and always, you know, bear him in our bodies.